Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
No, I'll run this town to be near you. No, gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome to the show and a good Thursday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 10:07, 7 after 10. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard live Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. The gang not all here tonight. Longoria off again. He'll be back tomorrow. Little guy Jason on the other side of the takeout window. Low T Chuck screening the calls. We were not live last night. I apologize for that.
It was a good one, though.
It was a very good one.
It made
Lucky
me
chunk
laugh
box.
So hard.
I was actually here at the station while it was being on. Long story short, I had to. I'm getting a new map system for TV, and so I had to come in and do a bunch of work on that yesterday because we're launching that soon. So I had at the last minute to take off the show last night, and Low T pulled up a best of from last year where Silky got the nickname Lucky Chunk Box, and I was dying laughing. I'm listening to the show doing my maps, and I'm just cracking up about that show. So good job pulling that
one.
Ironically, I think Chunky Luckbox heard it too, because he called in sick tonight, so he's
snake.
Yes, so we'll still do Would You Rather, but we're going to do listener Would You Rather questions in exactly an hour from now. So if you have Would You Rather questions, that you get to call up and ask us Would You Rather questions. So, but that was
that fun. Always goes well.
That was it's a train wreck. Get the dump button ready there, little guy.
Ramp up the delay.
Yes. It was such a funny show last night. Goodness. And I come in this morning to do traffic.
Yeah.
And people are leaving open mics, auditions to do the
show. Yes.
Ashley Fraska's like, what are all these people? What is going on?
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, cause she checks it for like traffic tips.
Oh,
or whatever,
sure. Yeah.
And there's people doing voice auditions for the Mark Arum show. So it was very funny. We got a lot going on tonight. We got Johnny Kilbasa. John Glenn passed away. We'll talk about that in a second. Just a heads up, WSB, this is the spirit of giving, the holiday season, the Christmas season. We're going to be out and about. So just for me personally, if you have any desire to meet me in person, which you probably don't, and rightfully so.
Chuck
and Jason will tell you, it's nothing life-changing when you get to meet me. But if you by any chance want to, I will be at Clark's Christmas Kids tomorrow in Milton, 5200 Windward Parkway for Clark's Christmas Kids. I'll be there from 3 to 7 p.m. as we accept donations for Clark's Christmas Kids. One of the best broadcasts of the year, I think, because Clark is such a straight and narrow guy. And I like to push his button sometimes. We have a blast on that. So if you want to come see me, I'll be at the Walmart in Milton, 5200 Windward Parkway from 3 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. It's a very, very cool time. It'll be a best of show tomorrow is basically what I'm telling you, because I'm going to be up at Clark Howard's thing. And then on Saturday, if you live on the west side of town, we will be out at Clark Howard, Captain Herb's Toys for Tots event. That is a really cool event also. We'll be at Fred's Barbecue House, Lithia Springs, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The whole traffic team will be out there. Vinny from TV is going to drive out with me. We're taking the Channel 2 weather Hummer. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it upstairs in the parking
garage. So Vinny and I are driving that out because there's when you go to the Captain Herb Toys for Tots events, there's NASCAR race cars and tanks and just all these awesome vehicles.
So you need to represent.
The chopper goes there and lands in the back. So I bring out the Hummer every year. So Vinny and I are going to go out there. If you want to meet Vinny from TV, you guys are more than welcome. I think Longoria might try to stop by with the girls because it's a cool event for kids to come see. But they were collecting toys and money for Toys for Tots. It's Captain Herb's annual event. We do it to remember him. And last year was fantastic. And you get some great barbecue. There's a motorcycle ride.
Nice.
A bunch of stuff. So if you have any desire to see me, I will be. It's not often I'm out in public, but I'll be out in public this weekend. Tomorrow at the Milton Walmart on... I keep forgetting the address. Windward Parkway. And Saturday morning, I'll be at Fred's Barbecue House on Thornton Road in Lithia Springs.
You're all over the place.
Yeah, I'll be no poker this weekend.
No,
it's going to be all about the kids this weekend.
Do you have enough photos for your calendar?
I need more. I need more Walter photos. So there you go. If you have any questions, you can tweet at me at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum WSB, Instagram Mark Arum. Do me a favor, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
At some point today in the show, go back to last night's show,
mm-hmm.
and at the end of the broadcast, see if I promise to follow people back on Instagram.
Okay.
Because I woke up this morning with a bunch of new followers.
I'll double check.
Just double check, because I don't want to go back on my word from a year ago on the tape show. Anyway, all right, John Glenn passed away. American icon, American hero, American legend. If by chance you don't know who John Glenn is... or what he did. Well, I mean, there could be a 14-year-old out there that doesn't know what's going on.
That's true. There's a few of our listeners that wouldn't.
Beautiful Ella, 15-year-old Ella, might not know exactly who John Glenn is.
I hope she does.
She probably does. But just in case you don't know who John Glenn was, what he did, here's his obituary from the fine folks at CBS Radio News.
3, 2, 1, 0. Good Lord, ride all the way.
You got speed, John Glenn.
John Glenn rocketed into history on February 20th, 1962, aboard his Friendship 7 spacecraft when he became the first American to orbit the Earth. He was a much-decorated war hero who was chosen to be an original Mercury astronaut in 1959. Near the end of his three-orbit flight, CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite remembers America held its collective breath when flight controllers believed there was a problem with the spacecraft's heat shield.
As the capsule came plunging into the ionosphere, it cut off all communications, and there were several seconds there that we had to wait to know whether he came successfully through it.
John Glenn was elected to the Senate from Ohio in 1974, and 10 years later ran unsuccessfully for president. After declaring he would retire from the Senate, NASA announced Glenn would return to space in October 1998 aboard the Shuttle Discovery to study the effects of weightlessness on his 77-year-old body.
On behalf of everybody my age and older and those who are about to be our age before too many years have gone, I can guarantee you I'll give it my very best try.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery with a crew of 6 astronaut heroes and 1 American legend.
John Glenn will be remembered for a remarkable life in which he was a pilot, an astronaut, a senator, a family man, and an American hero. Ed Grain, CBS News, New York.
Quite a life there. John Glenn. I just realized that's what Erickson uses to the start of his show.
Yeah, that's the dude. That countdown.
That's
from that.
Yeah. Very recognizable piece of audio history right there. So John Glenn, I mean, you couldn't ask for a more full life. Dead at the age of 95.
Married 73 years.
73 years to 6 different women.
I'd be lucky if I live 73. 6 different women.
He was a polygamist. You didn't know that? That wasn't in the open? No, I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
He had heart valve replacement surgery in 2014. Truly an American icon. So as we say, Godspeed, John Glenn. What I want to talk about is, I mean, when I was growing up, just to give you generationally, I'm 42 years old. So I obviously grew up post the lunar missions, post the John Glenn stuff, but in the height of the space shuttle age. And so when I was growing up, sure, I had my sports heroes. I didn't really get into the musical, you know, I didn't have look up the musicians
either.
Or anything. But I had my sports heroes, but I had non-sports heroes, like the astronauts, the shuttle captains. I mean, there were things outside of sports and music for children to idolize. And maybe that is still the case, but
it doesn't seem like it.
But I don't have kids and I don't know, but I would think that if you have a child or a grandchild right now that is between the ages of 4 and 16, if you go into their bedrooms, even if they still do posters, I don't even know if they do posters anymore. But when I was growing up, I had the pictures of, you know, posters of the astronauts and posters of baseball players. Those were my heroes. In 2016, who do the children look up to? Who are their idols? Who inspires them? Is there anyone outside the sports or music realms.
Like entertainment, outside of entertainment.
Outside of entertainment that inspire children these days, that children look up to, that children idolize. Not that every kid when I was growing up looked up to the astronauts or what have you, but we had that option.
Yeah.
I just don't know who children these days look up to. Is there a John Glenn out there? Is there a Neil Armstrong out there?
I don't even know who those people would be for today.
That's what I'm asking. Like, what facet of life can inspire children? Is there anything that inspires children outside of the sports and entertainment realm? When you were growing up, Jason, what you're a little younger than me, right? Couple years younger. Who did you have on your wall? Who do you have posters of on your wall?
I had Dale Murphy, the glowing bat poster on the wall.
Legendary.
The Bash Brothers, Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco.
So you were kinda sports guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And nowadays?
Not many posters on the wall at the house. The wife took those down.
His wife made him take them down.
Do you have kids?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. And Chuck, when you were growing up in Montana, you probably didn't have walls or posters, but
no.
But you had the option of inspiration outside of sports and entertainment, right?
Yeah, and I would say there wasn't a single person. I was really into astronauts and archaeology.
Okay.
But the archaeology came from Indiana Jones.
Sure,
I thought
it
was, you know.
Absolutely.
And sports, I was a huge Larry Bird fan. And the astronaut thing came after the Challenger explosion.
Yeah.
I remember watching that with my mom and being obsessed with space, space exploration, going to space. I thought that would have been fabulous. Then I realized all the science you had to do and I was dumb at it. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen.
Back to archaeology.
Yeah, exactly. Back to digging holes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. If I was to nail a person, it's still in sports. But there were other things that inspired me to outside of entertainment.
Sure. So that's the question to start off the show. Children these days, do they have anyone that they can look to for inspiration outside of the sports and entertainment world? For me, it was for my generation, and I'm sure just a little earlier too, is definitely the astronauts. I mean, they were men above men. They were the people that you could look up to. What's going on with kids these days? Can they look to anyone outside of sports and entertainment for inspiration? What are the posters on the walls of children, if you will, these days? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, on Twitter at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
The Mark Arum Show, brought to you by Low T Nation.
Welcome back to the show. 1024, 36 frigid degrees on Peachtree Street. Going to be in the 20s tomorrow morning when you wake up with Scott Slade in Atlanta's Morning News in some parts. So bundle up out there, bring in the plants and pets, as they like to say. We lost John Glenn today. Who are the heroes that kids these days can look up to outside of the sports and entertainment worlds? Gina joins us in Buford. Gina, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, thanks. I love the show.
Thank you, Gina.
Well, I'm a seventh grade teacher, and so I hear kids talk all the time, and there's really not many heroes that they even talk about besides sports guys, and I teach science, but they don't really talk about anybody like that, and I hate to say it, but a lot of them always talk about YouTubers, and they have these ideas that they look up to all of those social media people.
Social media stars.
Yeah, and they really want to be like that, and they think the world works like that, where you can just get really rich really quick without much hard work. Mm-hmm. And that kind of really concerns me about this generation.
Yeah. Well, I understand the concern there. I think it's very similar. When I was growing up in seventh grade, every boy thought he was going to be the next great baseball player or football player or basketball player. And you know, reality hits eventually. So I think reality will hit these kids eventually that not every one of them can be a YouTube star. and not to say that my generation was awesome, because we certainly weren't. I mean, not everyone that I grew up with idolized the astronauts, but we had that option. We had that option. I just don't know who kids these days could look up to outside of the entertainment world, like the YouTube world?
Well, they talk about Obama a lot, and mm-hmm. they also talk about Kanye West.
That's troubling.
I know it is. I know it is.
That is troubling, unfortunately. Seventh grade, how long have you been teaching seventh grade?
For like 6 years now. I teach science, and I love it. And I do really love kids, and I think there's hope there, but they just are so obsessed with technology.
Sorry about that. So. I think that was a pretty good age, though. I mean, seventh grade is before they become, you know, mouthy, right? They're still well behaved in seventh grade, right?
If you say so.
I don't know. Maybe I just remember I was a well behaved seventh grader. That's all I know.
I was not.
They're not that well behaved anymore, and they like to use a lot of curse words these days.
I did too. I did. Seventh grade was when I just started. I was like, oh, all right, girls. How am I going to get close to girls? Footsie was my big move in seventh grade. Did you do that move, Chuck? Footsie?
I think I had a little bit more game than
I had no footsie. Game. My game was footsie.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I'll explain when we come back. News, weather, and traffic next. Rest in peace, John Glenn. This is The Mark Arum Show. Swing around
like you stupid. Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
Hi, this is Kevin Neal, and you're listening to The Mark Arum Show. And let me tell you something. Unless you're in Temple, it does not get any more Jewish than this.
Welcome back to the show, 10:37, 23 in front of 11 o'clock. Mark Arum at your beck and call till midnight, Monday through Friday on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We are remembering John Glenn.
He was really, to me, he was a great American hero, a truly great American hero. I met him on two separate occasions, liked him, always liked him. But he was indeed an American hero.
President-elect Donald Trump on the passing of a true American hero, John Glenn, dead at the age of 95, asking you, dear listener, with access to children. The Mark Arum Show staff has no access to the children when Longoria's not here. Are there any people outside of sports and entertainment that children can look up to today? When I was growing up, we had the astronauts. We had politicians, I guess, to a certain extent. Everyone, no matter who the president was, you know, Jimmy Carter was the president. He was, when I'm in third grade, he's the president. We love that. You know, he's the man. I don't know if that still stands today in this divided United States of America. But who are the people that our children these days can look up to and idolize, much like Chuck and I idolized the astronauts, the shuttle astronauts, or Jason idolized Dale Murphy and the glowing bat when he was growing up. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Before we get back to the phones, though, we were talking before the break. You don't know what footsie is. Do you know what footsie is, Jason?
Well, I know what it is.
Of course.
Well, what is it?
When you rub your foot on another person's foot,
yes,
like under
exactly.
the table.
We were talking to the seventh grade teacher.
I just didn't think that was a thing to get women. I thought that was something you did with somebody you're already dating, not someone you're trying to...
I don't know. That was my move.
You know how creeped out I would be if somebody started rubbing my foot?
Well, the key was, and again, this
wasn't... You know, creeped out these girls were?
This wasn't a very successful move.
Okay, all right.
It never worked. But I can't even tell you the girls that I'd played footsie with. Carrie Newton.
Sure, they can. They're all scarred from it.
Julie Dunn, Becky Falk, Stephanie Durston. And the game was, it wasn't a game, it was a move. If they were sitting across from you at a table, you would put your foot out and touch their foot. And like kind of give it a little rub.
Right.
And if they rub back, you're like, oh. But then I never did anything past that. You know,
so you were just a weird foot rubber.
I bet you in the seventh grade girls' locker room, they're like, what's with Aram in the feet? You know, these four girls got together and like, hey, Stephanie, does Aram touch your foot under the desk? Yeah, what a weird.
That is amazing.
I don't know. I didn't know. I'm seventh grade.
Do you have a foot thing or you just didn't know how to? That was something I did after we were dating when, you know, you're getting cutesy with somebody and, you know, you kind of do that. But I wouldn't just rant and be like, that girl's kind of cute. Let me rub her foot foot. And
that was my move. But I didn't know what to
do
after.
When did you give up on that move?
Probably a good 6 months ago. I don't know why I thought that was a move.
I mean, who knows why you think things when you're in seventh grade.
Some girls didn't like it.
I
Some girls would immediately like pull their foot back and be like, was that you? And I'm like, oh,
did
yeah,
you do that
sorry.
On purpose? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you accidentally
But
did
those
it.
Four girls, Carrie Newton, Julie Dunn, Stephanie Durston, Becky Falk, they reciprocated. And maybe I was just too embarrassed to go further, ask them out on a date or
right.
whatever the hell you do in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Go steady. I mean, I was just happy with
the foot rubbing.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Oh, it's beyond weird.
That is weird. I haven't thought about that in decades.
The longer this radio show goes on, the more stuff comes out about you.
My persona is getting
it's just hysterical.
It's like you're pouring acid on my persona.
A little bit.
So
yeah.
I don't know. But you ever tried that?
Not as a first move. No, I had a little bit better game than to rub foots with a stranger.
What's your move in seventh grade? It was either footsie or pass him a note in the hall.
Usually I would at least pass him a note. I'd let him know in some other manner, not creepily touching their feet.
I think I gave girls, asked girls out via note 4 times in my life.
Really?
I went 0-for-4 on all of them.
Oh, yeah. From like sixth grade, like 12 years old, to like probably into high school, like 15.
Yeah.
I was a note guy. Worked.
It never worked for me. Did the note thing work for you, Jason?
No.
They also felt like they could dump me via note, too. So that was, it was a double-edged sword to
that. But I do remember notes were very big when I finally did get a girlfriend in high school.
Oh, yeah. You passed notes a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was mandatory at least twice a day.
Yep.
You'd have to write each other a note and then pass it to each other. I guess the kids
Or if I walked by the locker, I'd slip it in their locker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
That's a good move. But now I would imagine that's dead, right? It's just texting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I think it's way creepier now.
No kids in middle school or high school are writing each other paper notes anymore.
I don't think so.
They're snapping or Instagramming or
whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah,
there
no.
There you go. All right, so a little peek into the psyche that is
feet.
Mark Arum. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Marco in Lilburn.
We need more lemon play.
What's going on, Marco?
Not much. How you doing?
Did you play footsie with your hot Asian wife? Was that the first move you made?
It wasn't the first move, but
so that was my problem. That shouldn't have been my first move. I should have waited.
Right. In high school, on the swim team, it was truth or dare or letting your hands wander.
What?
That was his move. Truth or dare or letting his hands
just
wander.
Just let your hands wander.
Peruvian hands.
Yeah, that's what every guy who gets in trouble for inappropriate actions. She started it. I was just playing along.
Exactly. Marco, growing up in the villages of Peru, what posters did you have on your wall as a child?
Bruce Lee.
Oh, all right. There's another one. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely martial arts were big when I was growing up.
Yeah. Nowadays, I would hope that, you know, like the science teacher, I was hoping she would say somebody. But, you know, like, what's his name? Bill Gates or Apple, you know, the Apple guy. You would
Steve
think it
Jobs?
To them. You
know? What about
Steve
Zuckerberg? Do kids these days, are they? You know? The kids are over Facebook, though.
Yeah.
Facebook's an old man website now, old person website. Mm-hmm. Kids aren't on that thing anymore. Just guys like me and you, Marco.
Right, yeah.
Old dudes. So listen, you going to come Alpharetta tomorrow? What's your deal? You going to come see me in Milton?
I think I'm going to the Fred's Barbecue.
Oh, very cool. I'd love to see you out there.
I think I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah. Come out to Fred's on Saturday. We'd love to see you.
I'm going to try it, definitely, yeah.
All right. I'll buy you a barbecue sandwich.
Okay.
Or a Yellow Jacket dog, whatever you want.
Yellow Jacket dog?
Yeah,
good.
That's famous, the Fred's Yellow Jacket dog.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll give you heartburn for a month, but it's very tasty.
I got a goat stomach, so.
Good, good. Literally, no, you give me a look, Jason. You have a Yellow Jacket dog. 6 calendar weeks later, you'll burp up and you go, ooh, Yellow Jacket dog.
I'm unfamiliar with the Yellow Jacket dog.
Oh, it's legendary.
Yeah, what is this?
It's the Fred's hot dog. It's got mustard, chili, onions, some other stuff that
It's a chili dog?
But it's a yellow... I don't know. They call it the yellow jacket dog.
Right.
But it's got other stuff on it.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a secret sauce, maybe.
Okay.
But it's delicious. But 6 weeks later, out of nowhere, you'd be like... Boom. And you're like, oh, jeez. It was a little gas bubble from the yellow.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Paul's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Paul, you're on the Mark Arum Show.
I don't know, you guys. On this feet thing, I got to go. I got to call TMI. I'm sorry.
You didn't play footsie as a kid?
When I was in junior high, most girls' feet kind of stank a little bit.
They were, yeah. Well,
that was not my thing until much later in life, of course.
But, understood.
Hey, Mark, I'm old enough to be your dad.
Okay.
When John Glenn orbited the Earth, I was in the second grade. And
okay.
We were watching it on the old black and white Philco TV, and it was absolutely mesmerizing. And
yeah.
I had just acquired eyeglasses, and I wasn't much of a daredevil, but I remember circling the house with a salt shaker, posing as a space capsule, doing my best Walter Cronkite impersonation.
No doubt.
And but you know, other than sports and music, on the other end of the spectrum, like Pedro mentioned, the heroes, they seem to be earthbound techies. Your Mark Zuckerbergs, your Steve Jobs, your
but I'm okay with that. Listen, I would rather a kid idolize Mark Zuckerberg than Kanye West or.
Bingo.
Or, yeah.
That's the way of the world. But correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't seem to have the guys these days to put their lives on the line for technology other than astronauts and our fighting men and women who protect our freedom.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the fighting men and women, Paul. So for the World War II generation, and you might fit into this perhaps, you had Dwight Eisenhower, you had the General Pattons, you had these military figureheads that I would imagine were pretty much idolized by kids those days, right?
Right, right. And John Glenn was kind of at the tail end of that generation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I tell you what, those guys amaze me. Like I say, I've always been kind of a cautious chicken bleep guy, but yeah. I've always just been amazed by their bravery.
Sure. But the problem is we're not seeing that level of exploration or that level of pushing the limits right now to the scale that we saw.
That's what I said on Twitter, that he sort of represents the last of our American sort of pushing the limits of what we could do just to see how far we could go.
Sure.
I
think we're on the cusp of another. I mean,
I think so.
Mars is going to be the next. See, the problem is, it's not a problem. All our exploration now is done via technology because technology,
yes.
I mean, we're doing amazing stuff in space unmanned. So
the
Hubble Space Telescope, the probes, the Mars rover, that's huge.
That
Mars
one was enormous.
Huge.
When
that
thing landed, I just saw a full digital, like, high-resolution color photo come back. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I stared at it for a while.
And
that's Mars. Like,
all of our exploration is unmanned right
unmanned
now.
Right
so
now.
There's no John Glenn. There's no Neil Armstrong right.
We're on the cusp of it, though.
Yeah.
I would hope in the next 20 years we hit another generation that ventures out like that.
I got to give my buddy Atlanta Fixer on Twitter credit for sending me this John Glenn quote. You ready? This is fantastic. John Glenn quote. Quote, as I hurtled through space, one thought kept crossing my mind. Every part of this rocket was supplied by the lowest bidder. That's an amazing quote. And true. And absolutely true. Braden's up next on the Mark Arum Show. Hello, Braden.
Hey, Mark. I like your show, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right. So it's funny that the first lady, or not the first lady, but the lady who called you first tonight.
Yes.
She mentioned YouTubers.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I was actually going to say as well. So I was like, what are the odds someone nailed that? But the interesting thing is I actually am a YouTube creator.
What do you create on YouTube?
So that's what YouTube or Google calls us. Anybody who has a YouTube channel and it's monetized and it's in a business format, they call them YouTube creators. And so basically if you have a channel and it's doing pretty well, then they'll put you in front of certain people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these kids, I'm telling you, they I started my channel about 2 years ago, and we've just now gotten to the point where it's about 1.1 million views every 30 days.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's huge. What can I find you on YouTube right now? Like, what do I search for?
Yeah, if you type in Langley Firearms Academy, you will literally see my face and lots of guns and experiments and stuff.
So your whole YouTube channel is about guns?
About guns, gun education, and gun safety, and then...
It says you have 26,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a ton of views on all your stuff. How, if you don't mind me asking, monetarily, how are you doing on this? What are you making?
I can't tell you that exact number, just because that's within the YouTube agreement.
Understood.
But I can tell you it replaces about a half of the country's income.
Replaces about, all right, now you're going to make me do math now.
If you took half the country and you took their average income, it would replace that in an annual year.
Is this all you're doing for a job now? Is this enough to pay your bills and everything?
No. It's getting to that point.
Yeah.
But I actually, I work for a large corporation for the healthcare benefit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a public-facing job, and that's the other funny part here. So she was saying seventh graders are you're really focused on YouTubers, and I wouldn't say I'm a star by any means, but... grown men, 30, 40, 50, will stare at me for about 10 minutes when I just walk up in a room, and I'll be like, why do I recognize you? And all of a sudden, it'll click in their head.
That's awesome, man. Good for you.
And they'll ask me for pictures. I've had people send me fan mail.
I'm going to go watch the 9mm bone test right now. And maybe I'll tweet out a link. Yeah, very cool. Brayden, I got to run, man. I want to talk to you in depth, though, later on. Well, that's a cool little side hustle right there. All right, we're going to come back with more of your calls. 404-872-0750. This is The Mark Arum Show. I wish you would have did that 2 years ago. No sleep till... Welcome back to the show. 10:55, 36 chilly degrees on Peachtree Street. Tony joins us in Mayreta. Tony, you're on The Mark Arum Show.
The Mark Arum Show, which features Radio Gold every night, just like last night.
Did you hear yourself last night?
I did indeed, but the best part was Johnny calling the little one Lucky Chunkbox.
Lucky Chunkbox. How are you, Tone? What's going on, buddy?
Well, I can tell you as, one of the department managers at my store, I deal with millennials, and they range in age from 18 right out of high school all the way up to 30 ex-Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing in, talking with them is I say, who are your idols? Who are your heroes? And they spout out the usual, social people, sports folks and all that.
Yeah.
I said, let's think outside the box here for a minute. Outside of those realms, who are important people to you? And what I find very interesting, and I'll go in descending order, I got a 30-year-old ex-Navy guy. He says he's part of the LGBT community. He says Bill Clinton. I'm like, why is that? Don't ask, don't tell. I said, okay, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You go down to the next guy. He's probably 25, 27, ex-Navy. I said, who's your hero? And he's like Martin Luther King. And I'm like, why is that? He's like, that's just what I was taught
Civil
by my
rights.
Parents.
Yeah.
And then you get to the third kid. Who is from way south Georgia. I said, who's your big hero? He's like, well, I go to Southern Poly, which is now, Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
And, I've got four engineering disciplines I'm studying. It's, Bill Gates and the former head of Apple.
Well, it's good that those aren't sports and entertainment stars, so there are some idols out there. MLK is a good one, but, he's no longer with us. Living idols. It was an interesting conversation. Rest in peace, John Glenn. Here's what we're doing when we come back. Would you rather questions? You ask us would you rather questions, filling in for little Sanjay. Get your questions up now. 404-872-0750. This is The Mark Arum Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.